KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media communications and journalism students at Fresno State, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning, I'm Alexis Govea.
And I'm Edmar Chila. We're glad you joined us this morning for Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, stories about people of the Central Valley. Tyler Bartlam is back from Sacramento with a story about a new law that protects Muslims and Sikhs from bullying.
We'll also explore a subject that many freshman college students know about all too well, homesickness.
And in women's basketball, proof that height doesn't matter as long as you have stamina and determination. But first, a look at a new anti-bullying law in California. One of our media communications and journalism students just returned from National Public Radio's Next Gen Fellowship in Sacramento. Tyler Bartlam spent the week working on stories with NPR reporters, producers, photographers, and sound engineers.
Tyler covered a story about a new law that was passed to protect Muslim and Sikh students from bullying. Here are excerpts from her interview with Saad Swalem, a civil rights attorney who attended the state assembly hearing that led to passage of the law.
That was my first fight right there. It was like, all right, we're fighting. Like, I have to. Like, that was it. My name is Saad Swalem. I'm a civil rights attorney here for CARE, California. My mother actually started wearing hijab August 2001. So, like, literally a few weeks before 9/11. I remember in middle school, we'd all get there early and play football for about half an hour. Then the bell would ring and we'd go to class. So somebody saw my mom drop me off and she was wearing her hijab. And he started making comments. Your mom was wearing a diaper on her head because, you know, you're a terrorist. You know, I pushed him. We got in a fight. We got in trouble. Next thing I knew, we were in the office, and the vice principal was calling my mom. And my older brother used to get in all the fights. So my mom thought my older brother was in trouble again. And, you know, he called and said, oh, Saad got in a fight. And my mom was just shocked. You know, like, she didn't expect it. And I told her what happened. And I just remember the kid. He was just sitting there crying and crying, so afraid he's going to get in trouble. But we became friends over that. You know, I remember trying to calm him down afterwards in the office. But that was one instance. Just recently, we had a 10-year-old girl who one day on her own tells her parents, I want to wear hijab, 10 years old, and she does. And her very first day, she was called a terrorist. She had friends. She was fine before that. So you hear stuff like that, and it's very sad. It is. But, you know, it's also what gives us the motivation to do the work that we do. 27% reported being discriminated against by their own teachers. And that's also something I remember in high school. One of my teachers, my English teacher, she kept referring to Islam as a terrorist religion, and I went on Amazon, I remember, and I bought her The Complete Idiot's Guide to Islam, and I give it to her. So, I mean, that's very real, and that's what we're still seeing to this day. So when an adult who's, you know, supposed to be there to teach you and protect you says it, it's definitely very hurtful. It's a lot more difficult to respond to as well, I think, for students. So the reason bullying is a civil rights issue is it's not something that just happens at schools and, you know, was born at schools. We're living in a political climate right now where a very prominent political candidate is speaking very negatively about Muslims. And what we're seeing is that what he's saying is trickling down all the way to our students and our schools. And we're seeing it also in employment. We've had a lot of cases where, you know, adults are being bullied at work because of their faith. So it's a civil rights issue because people are being targeted specifically because of their faith, because of their religion. Being a part of CARE and being a part of, you know, a fight for social justice is definitely something that was ingrained in me from a very young age, from my mom's, you know, teachings and her own experiences as well. You know, looking back, it was very, very strong of her to keep going, you know, like she did. She's still wearing it to this day. It would have been, nobody would have blamed her. I know my dad wouldn't have blamed her if she took it back off, you know, at that point. So we were on our way to the assembly floor gallery where we were when where we watched the vote for AB 2845 in the Capitol. And this is where we were with quite a bit of members of the community, as well as some of our student speakers, such as Yasmin and her family.
This bill aims to address bullying and discrimination in our public education system as a result of Islamophobia, which I think is a disturbing trend and something that undermines our nation's values of tolerance and freedom of religion.
I'm Yasmin Nyabko, and I'm in support of the bill. I'm a fifth grade student at Two Rivers Elementary School. Recently, I have started wearing my hijab and everything changed. Often people called me a terrorist, said I was an old woman, and called me ugly. And it didn't make me feel any better because no one else was being mean to anybody else and telling them these names. One day I started to cry and my teacher told me to go into the back room. She made me feel different because also she told me to explain myself in front of the classroom.
I'm Yasmin's mother, Valerie Nyapkil, and I am also in support of the bill as a parent. I think teachers and staff should be educated when diversity is involved. It could have been very beneficial to my daughter at that time had the teacher took a stand, and it helped her instead of isolating her in a room and then expecting my 11-year-old to explain why she was dressed differently from the other children when nobody else was addressed to do the same. So I'm in support of the bill as a parent.
It was great to see California take a much different step and different approach and really embrace the diversity of California and the different people of faith, such as Muslims, Sikhs, and others, and make sure that their students would be protected.
That story was produced in Sacramento by Fresno State Media Communication and Journalism student Tyler Bartlam, with her mentor Michelle Foss from WCBN in Cleveland, Ohio.
You know, Alexis, that story that Tyler covered while at the fellowship was very special in that she was able to cover a pressing issue at the state capitol.
Yes, Edmer, and what an amazing opportunity for Tyler to be able to go to the capitol and find out how the process worked.
Nearly 7 out of 10 students who go away to college report feeling homesick. That's according to a survey by the UCLA Higher Education Institute. Dalia Redondo has some helpful tips on how students and their families can cope with homesickness.
I miss my mom.
I miss my childhood more than anything.
I miss being able to come home and seeing my whole family here.
I miss my friends and being surrounded by everyone that I knew.
I'm homesick.
Think back to your senior year in high school when you were just as excited as everyone else about college. Many students think they need to move away from home to get the real college experience. Little do we forget that moving away means leaving people behind, including family, friends, leaving your old hometown, and memories. Not saying that moving away is a bad thing, but some don't stop to think of the feeling of being homesick that comes along with a transition from moving from one place to another. Edith Montes is a freshman at Fresno State. She's had a difficult time adapting to being away from home.
I feel really sad. Like, I cried a lot the first month that I was here at Fresno. I would think about my parents a lot, especially my mom, because, like, I'm the only child left for them. So I just felt like she would be really lonely, and that would make me feel really, like, sad, because I don't want her to feel like she's alone. Even though we're not too far away from each other, I know that it still, like, made a big difference in the household, and it's different now every time I go.
Edith's roommate, who is also a freshman at Fresno State, helps Edith out when she's feeling homesick.
Well, when I ask her, like, hey, what's wrong, you know, she tells me, oh, I miss my mom. And I'm just like, okay, you know, I miss her too. But we can't just let that get to our head, because we have things to do here, things to get done. We can't just let that get into our head and, like, stop everything. I give her lots of advice. I usually hug her, and we'll, like, just sit in the room on our beds.
Some students don't know, but Fresno State offers counseling for those students who are feeling homesick. Malia Sherman is a counselor at the Health and Counseling Center at Fresno State. She talked to us about the different ways they can help students throughout their journey here.
Well, to start with, obviously, we have individual counseling, which is the primary thing that we offer to students. So they can come in for one-hour sessions occasionally to get support and help. And through those sessions, we try to help them find ways to stay connected with their family, or more importantly, to get connected here on campus, so that even though they're away from their home and family, they're involved here and they're meeting people and they're active in things besides just sitting home being lonely and bored.
There are different symptoms for being homesick.
It's different for everybody. Some people get kind of depressed where they don't want to get out of bed, they don't want to leave their house, they become like these cave dwellers, they're kind of sitting in the dark all day doing nothing. Other people get very anxious, they feel nervous, and they want to get out and meet people and be involved, but they're so anxious and nervous they can't do that. But for the most part, I think, you know, just a change in sleeping pattern, a change in eating pattern, not being able to think clearly, not getting pleasure out of normal everyday activities, just kind of a dullness to life.
Edith has been trying very hard to keep herself together.
I try to go out as possible as I can. Like, I try to go with my friends, with my roommates. I try to just not to think about it. Homework keeps me really busy. I want to say that I try not to think about it as much, because if I do, I want to go back.
Edith says she knows her homesickness feeling is temporary and she will soon grow out of it.
My goal is to overcome my homesickness and keep attending Fresno State without having any problems of me thinking like, oh, I want to go back home, or I'm going to go back home.
Thinking ahead, Edith knows there is something in store for her. And as a mass communication major, she is looking forward to her future.
I want to hopefully work for like a really good like TV channel. Like, something that I've always wanted to do is just be able to go out and investigate stories. I just want to be successful in my career. I know a lot of people, when they graduate, they don't do what they studied that they had planned to do. And if things don't work out that way, then that's fine. You know, like, there's other things for me that were meant for me. But what I really want to do is continue in my major and hopefully grow from there.
Malia says it's important for students to make some friends, to socialize, and to be involved in activities here.
Because that's what's really going to take away from that homesick feeling, is if you feel like you have a second family, or at least you have a support network here, and you're involved in activities here.
If you would like to know more information about the Student Counseling and Health Center, you can always visit their page under the Fresno State website. Talia Arredondo, Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
If you're a college student, you most likely have learned to find balance in your life. Whether it's good grades, a social life, or work, it can be challenging to keep everything together. Judith Saldivar tells us how finding balance can be hard for a college student, especially when there are more than three things on your plate.
Alexis Ramirez is a full-time student at Fresno State with a double major in public health and pre-nursing. When she's not in class, she's working at the Fresno State Viticulture and Enology Research Center, assisting the outreach coordinator.
I feel like my freshman year was one of like the worst years. I did really bad. I didn't do bad, like I passed all my classes, but like I got like my first C ever.
On the surface, she looks like your typical student with a typical full plate, 16 units, part-time job, dedication to the gym, but there's so much more that Alexis doesn't show. At 20 years old, Alexis lives alone and takes care of her 7-year-old half-sister, Sierra.
There's some days where I'm like, oh, this is too much for me, but there's nothing I could do about it. I feel like the only thing I could do is just get it done as best as I can.
Sierra's mom is in rehab and their father is in jail.
So there are a total of three men who got arrested, including my dad, and there's one guy who is telling a story, and he is accusing my dad of doing it, whereas the other guy is kind of like not saying anything. So there's just this one guy who's blaming it all on my dad, and I think that's where they decided that it was like probable cause, and saying that it's possible that he was involved.
Alexis and Sierra's father is awaiting trial on murder charges.
Just one day, like, I just got a call that he was arrested, and then he's been there ever since.
Alexis was 17 and a freshman in college when she lost her dad.
It was just a bad time in my life because, you know, my dad was, like, my best friend.
Alexis believes her dad is innocent and continues to stand by his side.
I see him every week and, like, I make sure to, like, take care of him too. Like, I send him food and, like, I go to all his court dates.
She looks back now and realizes that not having her dad by her side has made her stronger.
I feel like that's even, like, more motivation for me to do better.
Alexis didn't always live alone. For many years, she lived at home with her mom, Eloisa Arizaga, until Eloisa got a new boyfriend.
And she didn't tell me she was going to move out. She just basically stopped coming home. I think it, I guess, took a toll on me most, like, emotionally, because I'm not the type of person that likes to be alone.
Alexis lived on her own for over a year before she got some new roommates. Sierra and Sierra's mom, Jennifer Irales, moved in with her. Sierra and her mom were living in Sacramento before they moved in. After Jennifer and her boyfriend at that time broke up, they had nowhere left to go.
So my mom and I came up with the idea to invite them to live with me since I live by myself at home.
Jennifer has a past with alcoholism, but at that time, she seemed to be doing better.
It wasn't until about two months where I started noticing her drinking problem. And then one day I came home and I found her on the ground and she was, you know, she drank a whole bottle of vodka to herself.
Alexis and Eloisa offered Jennifer help and she accepted. She is currently enrolled in a rehab program in Fresno. With Sierra's mom being absent and her dad in jail, there was nobody really left to take care of her. Alexis said she stepped in when she realized that there was nobody else. Eloisa says Alexis did not hesitate when it came to taking care of Sierra.
She's always been also very, just like very giving when it comes to her family. You know, she's always willing to help out.
Eloisa says Alexis has always been very driven with her goals despite everything she's faced.
Yeah, she's a very strong, very tough person, and she's had a lot of tough things thrown at her way throughout life, and she's been able to, you know, handle them.
Alexis says her life situation has gotten in the way of doing stuff she enjoys.
There's some times where, like, I need to go home and just go straight to studying, but I can't do that because I have to make sure everything's taken care of with her.
She says she misses out on things with her friends and going to the gym because of her responsibilities with her sister.
I've had to cancel on people before. Like, if I already had plans, you know, there would be no one to take care of my sister, so I would have to cancel and go pick up my sister. Actually, today, like, there's a concert at the Fresno Fair, and that's the reason I didn't go.
Despite the sacrifices she's made, she said she continues to do so because she, more than anyone, knows what it's like to be in Sierra's shoes.
I've gone through the same thing. Well, kind of the same thing, but I think she's gone through worse, and then she's only 7. And I think it'll take a bigger toll on her because she's young.
Alexis and Sierra share the experience of not living with their parents.
Because I have to, you know, keep it together for, like, my little sister and, like, my family.
Judith Saldivar for Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
It seems like Alexis is setting an example by always being there for her sister while having to maintain other life commitments.
And also trying to balance work and life can be a bit frustrating and even stressful at times. And as Sierra and Alexis said here in Judith's story, they just have to keep it together for their family. Helping students in need has been the main initiative for the Fresno State Student Cupboard since opening its door in 2014. Our reporter Alex White shows us how the Fresno State Food Security Project has allowed one student to help her entire family.
Being a student in college comes with a lot of responsibilities. For fifth-year Maria Salazar, it's been more than just schoolwork that's kept her busy. Salazar has had to balance school and internships with several jobs just to keep food on the table for her and her family. But just a year ago, Salazar was able to become a normal student again when she found out about the student cupboard.
I come from 7 children and a single mom. And so it's like when we're trying to find little things to make ends meet, this just really helps me out a lot.
Now, all Salazar needs is her Fresno State student ID card to get food and toiletries for her and her family. Interim coordinator of the Food Security Project, Tiana Arredondo, used the cupboard when she was a student and is grateful for the opportunity to give back.
I was able to wander in and wander out and see Jessica and see these smiling faces who care. So now I'm just honored and excited to be able to be that for other students.
The shelves of the student cupboard are easily accessible, and the checkout process has been made as easy as possible for students like Salazar.
When students are ready to check out their items, they'll use their ID card and will swipe it. Then they'll be asked how many people they're sharing their food with. This allows the student cupboard to know just how many people they're helping each month.
Coordinators of the student cupboard say that this is all thanks to the hard work from President and First Lady Castro.
There is a lot that goes into student success, not just the academics, but also your personal health and well-being. And so I think it is just an amazing thing that our president and Mrs. Castro has instituted here for our campus.
And while Salazar can focus on being a student, her mom and siblings can know they will always have food on the table.
You don't have to struggle for anything anymore.
Alex White, Fresno State Focus.
Fresno State has big plans for the future. Reporter Brianna White went to the heart of campus to find out about the proposed university student union that administrators are calling a bold new U.
The heart of many college campuses is the university student union. For George James, a freshman commuting from Selma to Fresno State, the USU is an important place. He spends most of the gaps in between his classes just kicking back in the USU.
USU is very important and good to have because it gives me a place to relax, do homework, or shoot some pool, or maybe even go bowling a bit.
James isn't alone. Many students spend their time in the USU before and after class. With approximately 24,000 students, one could definitely say that the students at Fresno State have outgrown their current home away from home and that it's time for a new USU. Dr. Frank Lamas, Fresno State's Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management, is one of the driving forces behind this potential new addition to Fresno State.
The building itself would house a number of co-curricular types of things, and just really for it to be kind of your family room, living room.
Connor Israelian, ASI Vice President of External Affairs, encourages students to get out and vote on this potential new addition to campus.
Students will go to vote once the ASI ballots are out, so you'll get an email in your student email, as well as we'll have polling places on campus, and then we'll definitely spread the word all through social media. So students definitely be on the lookout next semester for a lot of information on how to do this.
A majority vote is needed to make a bold new U come to life. If the vote passes, students can see a bold new U come to life within a few years. Brianna White, Fresno State Focus.
Students can expect to see the referendum during the spring 2017 ASI elections. If it passes, the goal is to complete the project by 2020. The university is kicking off the proposed student union with a forum next month to give people an opportunity to ask questions and get information. That's November 17th at noon in the current USU Lounge.
Fresno Pacific Women's Basketball has their first game of the season on November 7th against Bethesda. Ryan Smith tells us senior Abrina Salas has been leading the team in their preparation.
This is Fresno Pacific senior basketball player Abrina Salas. Basketball players are commonly known for their height, but Salas is only 5'3", which is a challenge in itself when pursuing a collegiate basketball career. Just like most athletes, there were times that Salas doubted her choice to play college ball.
There was points where I was like, I don't know if this is worth it, if this is the plan that I'm supposed to follow. So yeah, definitely, there was points.
As a freshman, Salas was a walk-on. She had to put in the same amount of work that her teammates did without the reward of a scholarship.
And it was kind of exciting for me to have a challenge, to kind of challenge myself to get a scholarship and prove to people that I was worth it to get a scholarship.
But she did not let her size get in the way of her dream to earn a full ride. Solace is motivated by other small professional players who she grew up watching, such as Nikki Speed.
I mean, size wasn't a big deal to me when I was playing. I just knew that I could amount to anything that anybody else could do, so.
Head coach Tim Beauregard looked right past Solace's lack of height and was able to see her for the leader that she is. He gave her a full ride scholarship.
She runs the ship and does not make a lot of mistakes. She played almost 30 minutes a game in the Pac West last year, and she averaged less than 3 turnovers a game and just kept steady and kept everybody on the same page and kept everybody moving forward.
Not only does Solace have the respect of her coach, but her teammates respect her as well. Teammate Alex Green says Solace is valuable on the court.
Her strongest point, I think, is her leadership, her vocal ability to be loud and to not be afraid to tell people where they need to be or how they need to do things.
Solace may have walked through these doors freshman year as a walk-on, but with hard work and determination, she now walks into the locker room as a full scholarship athlete. The old saying still rings true. It is not about the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog.
Lucky shot, but I think I'll leave the shooting to Abrina Solace and the Fresno Pacific Sunbirds this season as they try to get that title. Ryan Smith, Fresno State Focus.
Well, what a great story about Abrina being able to overcome her challenge and getting on the team.
Yes, Edmer, it is. I definitely want to check out her and the rest of the team this season.
It'll be great to see them in action on the basketball court. Next week on Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, we'll focus on the election. I'll talk with some undecided voters and find out just how much their vote means to this election.
Brittany Souza will look at the millennial vote, especially those voters who are going to the polls for the first time.
And Tyler Bartlam talks with philosophy professor Andrew Fiala about the impact the lack of civility has had on voters' attitudes. Fresno State Focus Radio Edition is produced by Professor Faith Sidlow. Our stories and interviews are produced and edited by Brittany Sosa, David Chavez, Dalia Redondo, Tyler Bartlam, and Judith Saldivar. Natalie Nigg is our associate producer. Music by Kevin McLeod from Incompetech.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.